Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Ah, yes, it is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus. We don't even need Sharkey to tip the card. Mind you, he's got every chance because there are meetings coming out of our ears. We just need
one way to put it.
Some good things. How are you, Sharknado?
Good. Just relaxed, calm, you know.
Really?
Zen-like state.
Yes.
Well, I told you the other week I've started doing yoga, and it's really just having a deep impact.
How many
on
days
my
a week
psyche.
Are you doing yoga?
Oh, two.
Yoga doesn't seem relaxing to me. Trying to put yourself, contort your body into unnatural positions.
Yeah, and then you've got to hold it. So some of the positions you think, yeah, I can see why holding this would be beneficial in my life. Others you think, nah, I don't understand this. But yeah. Anyway, we just do it.
The only position I want to see you in today is, is
where
one,
going here?
The position of winners.
Oh, yes.
Above the ledger. We want to be in the black, not the red. We've got so much to punt on and to tip on.
Too much to punt on.
No, don't.
Is there such a thing?
Never too much. There's a lot of chances. Sicko. We've got a double header tonight, Cranbourne and Moonee Valley. We've got Murray during the day. We've got Sandown tomorrow. We've got a good meeting in Sydney with the $2 million Ingham. We've got a $1.5 million race over in WA. And we've got the international meeting on Sunday, Sharky.
Yeah, there's a little bit going on, isn't there?
What do you think of tomorrow's meeting? Because this is what the summer fair will be. We're going to get used to a lot of the racing out at Sandown on the hillside and the lakeside. And I know Mark Hunter said it's a pretty tough quaddie out there, but there's a few well-backed runners tomorrow.
It is a tough quaddie, isn't it? There's money for some. There's a couple of imports having their first go in Australia. They're always interesting. Yeah, there's enough there to keep us occupied, I would think.
Well, let's get stuck into it, because we're going to look race by race at tomorrow's hillside meeting at Sandown. Then we're going to, after 10 o'clock, we're going to focus on Sydney, WA, and we're going to get some mail from you over in Hong Kong well.
I'd just like to say, it's 6 minutes past nine. This is a very purposeful start. It's a little unlike the Matt Stewart era of the last few weeks where, Mikey, was it half past nine last week before we got to the first race?
It was 9:45 and they just finished race one, so I had to get him the... Speed it up, and Mike.
Did you lose the siren?
I lost interest, to be honest.
You lost interest.
I think most people did. I sort of tuned out when Matty got rolling there for a bit.
What the hell was he talking about?
I don't know what we were talking. I actually can't remember what we were talking about. It's sort of just life in general. But yeah, anyway, it was a 45-minute start.
There are times where Matt gets behind the microphone and he forgets he is actually on air, and he just starts to talk in meander. So
yeah, there was a little bit of that too.
We'll have enough of that. None of that today. All today is focused on is finding winners, because it's that time of year, Sharky. We need to build the bank for Christmas. And the first at Sandown tomorrow, intriguing race is the two-year-olds. And Cantalago is the favourite. It's been well supported during the week. It's a $2.90 favourite down low. It might be one of your yoga positions, is at $3.80. Energised is at $6. How do we pronounce this one?
Ouroboros, maybe?
Is at $6. Sarah Sansa, $8. Lady in Pink is at $13. We did have Benny Hayes on yesterday, and he gave a pretty good push for this debutante first starter, which is the favourite, Cantalago.
I think she's quite exciting. She's trialled up well. She won her last trial by about four lengths, doing it very easy. She was the English Classic purchase for $50,000. So if she can come out and win and run to a trial, she'll have some very happy owners. But she's a lovely, big, strong filly. She probably looks more like a three-year-old and does everything right. My only little question mark is, will the 1,000 be a little bit on the short side? But I guess that's the same for all the horses. They're all first up and on debut, so they'll all be in the same boat.
So she only cost $50,000, and that is a pretty good push from Ben Hayes. And we also spoke about the two-year-olds that they've unveiled so far, and they're all pretty smart. So they've got a pretty good measuring stick with their unraced two-year-olds.
Yes, they do.
Which gives me more confidence when he's pumping up this debutante.
Yeah, and she looks particularly sharp, doesn't she, off those jump outs? But there's another one that looks pretty sharp off the jump outs as well. Number 8, Sarasana, for Robbie Griffiths and Matt DeCock. Really good jump out win prior to her Pakenham trial, and was just allowed to sort of coast along there in that trial at Pakenham. I don't think we saw her at full noise in that heat. And there's another one I haven't minded jump outs of either, that Ouroboros, how am I saying? Yeah, anyway, it comes through the same jump out as old mate, the horse you mentioned before, Down Low. And I thought both of them looked all right in that heat. So a competitive little race to kick off.
So which way will you be? I see Sarasana's also entered at Bendigo on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
What price is it here? It's an $8 chance. So I suppose we'll have to wait and see which way they want to go. But if it does go to the richer race tomorrow, would you be having a little something each way on Sarasana?
Maybe, yeah. I'm probably not betting in this race. I saw enough in Ouroboros's trial, jump out, to think it might be able to have an impact first up. I'm really keen to see how these Harry Angels go. Very fast horse up north. And I think he's the sort of horse that will be able to leave fast horses in Australia.
Has he had many runners?
Don't think he's had one yet.
Oh, right. Okay.
I might have missed one, unless it was an early one in those very early two-year-old races, but I don't think he's had a winner yet.
I might actually text Matt Highland, because Dean Yendall had a bit of a scare yesterday at Warrnambool. It was on our horse, Harmsgiver, which is becoming a bit of a pest.
You got another horse?
We have very small percentage shares. Not
Jackie
like
know
you,
about this one?
Sharky. You
Jackie
have,
know about this one?
You don't own anything unless it's 75%. But he had a fall, and we know the neck issues that he's had, Dean Yendall, so yeah. He didn't take his right on Armsgiver, but he is down to right tomorrow, so fingers crossed everything is okay. It was a pretty good day. I don't know if you caught up with any of the action yesterday, but there was some really good stories, and I'm sure Matty Stewart will follow that up tomorrow, but we got to see Josh Cartwright finally come back and have a win. He's been a great redemption story.
Yeah.
And Ryan Houston had his first win as a jockey as well. So a couple of nice stories out of that Warrnambool meeting yesterday. So well done.
Yeah, it was a neat little meeting. There was a bit going on down there, wasn't there?
Race number 2 tomorrow. This, look, without being disrespectful, for me this might be a little cup of tea race. It's over 2,400 metres. Kate Akou, what are you? You'd be on a beers by now, wouldn't you?
Well,
$2.80.
It's 10 past 1, and I've got the Killers tomorrow night, and I'm warming up into that with our little local Supercoach group catch-up barbecue / beers around at Ricky Wilson's joint, so that'll be good.
Petty Koo is a favourite at $2.80. Jared 2 is at $6, and Irishman's at 7, Never Again at $7. Can we find a winner here?
No, it's a shocking race, isn't it, really? genuinely bad race. Apologies to connections of those who are paying up for runners in it. But, look, none of these are really going anywhere, are they? They're treading water. An Irishman we were with, funnily enough, when he won the Sonata Cup going back, I think it was Caulfield Cup Day, and there was some mail for him off the back of our show. I think Rick McIntosh tipped that to us on Saturday Contenders.
Yes.
That's testing the memory.
That's right, gosh.
Anyway, that's 4 runs ago now. He's going to have some company. He's on Speed Horse. He's going to have some company with Kaituku going forward as well. I probably want to be with Kaituku. Less convictions than most of these. I know he's 5, but he's only had 14 starts. He's nearly won a third of them. It looks like he's got a bit more room to move. That's probably where the interest sort of ends in this race for me. Minor Legacy is a Japanese bred horse, but doesn't look to be a particularly fast one. I guess he sort of adds some interest down the bottom, but he's pretty well exposed now anyway.
Just got a message saying Harry Angel had a 2-year-old winner at Cox Plate Day, Arkansas Kid.
Arkansas Kid, there you go. Yeah. So, he's at least had an impact early with one of them.
All right, so nothing you want to play here each way, or will you have a little dabble while you're about 3 tinnies deep with the boys?
I'll have 0 dabbles on this race. He's had 3 runners for 1 winner, Harry Angel, so that's not a bad start. And that was a stakes winner.
All right, let's see. Just sit out race number 2.
Oh, yeah. Don't need to be getting involved in that.
$2.20. We will catch up with the track manager, Greg Rives, out at Sandown in a moment. He's just finalising his rating. We should be having a pretty good surface tomorrow. Finally, we're going to get some warm weather after yesterday's atrocious conditions. So
it wasn't that bad.
It was about 13 degrees.
Yeah, it's all right. It was T-shirt weather. The sun was warm.
It's the 9th of December. It's ridiculous. Race number three.
Hey, I can't wait for El Nino when we're in drought for the next 5 years and you're complaining that there's no rain.
Morning, boys. Thank God Felgate's back. Could not have another week of Stuart on Form Focus.
Wow.
Sharknado, keen to hear your thoughts on Villana in the big race in Perth. Cheers, boys. That's Melvin. We'll get to that a little later.
Is he running?
I can't read any more of these out.
Why?
Well, Maddie doesn't listen on a Friday, but the boys are back together. Shark will pick a best bet, and Blue Eyes will be looking for about eight multis, probably already had a couple. Steve, you're on the money. We have had a couple already. Don't worry about that. Let's get into race number three, which is over 1,400 metres. She Dances is out. Gee, I've only just noticed that's come out. I thought it would be very hard to beat.
Catch up.
Tomorrow, One Out is also a scratching, which now means that Midtown Boss is the $3.30 favourite. Before we go to this race, let's get the latest from Greg Rose out at Sandown. Morning, Greg. You well?
Yes, thank you, Michael.
I know you've been finalising the conditions for the track. What's it currently rated for tomorrow's meeting?
Okay, we've rated a good four, but we're putting 6 millimetres of irrigation on right now, just to keep it in that range for tomorrow morning, and expecting a beautiful day tomorrow, so it should improve throughout the day.
Yeah, it's going to be a warm day tomorrow, so would you imagine that we'll upgrade to a three?
Oh, I would imagine so, yeah, but once again, that does depend on the weather, and but they're not talking about much wind tomorrow, so we'll just have to wait and see, I think, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Rail back to the true after the 11 metres on Wednesday. How has it recovered after the Wednesday? And if the horses do get out a little wide, will there be much difference?
No, I wouldn't think so. It's the wear from Wednesday is pretty minimal. Like I said, they've got those 11 metres from the true out to where we were on Wednesday. So, no, I don't think that if they did go out really wide, I don't think there's going to be a huge disadvantage out there.
Will they be on the fence early with the rail back to the true, do you think?
Hillside races a bit different than Lakeside. They sort of tend to find their own way. I don't think that's going to be a critical thing.
Have you got any whispers out there? Have there been any coming out to Sandown for a Tuesday workout that's caught your eye?
I haven't had a horse out here for a couple of weeks, actually. So, I'm a little bit blind on that in that regard.
That's all right. Doesn't stop Sharky. So we'll get one off you tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good on you, Greg.
Righto. Thanks, Michael.
Greg Graves, the track manager. So it'll be A1 for tomorrow's meeting, Sharky. This race here, race number three, I thought Russian Ronnie was really impressive last start. It's the $4.80 second favourite. No Drama is another horse. So there's going to be a bit of speed in this race, isn't there?
Yeah, it might set up really well for Midtown Boss, I reckon, who's just going to sit off them as he has done at his two runs back from a break. Geelong, Sandown Lakeside, ran down a pretty nice horse, I think, last time in Corner Off. A little bit of time for that animal. And, Midtown Boss had to, I guess, he sort of had the run on him to a degree, but just travelled a bit better as well, I thought. To about the 200 before he was asked to just kick and go, like the turn of foot. He's going to get a nice run behind the speed again. And, yeah, I think, although Corner Off was, some may say he was a little unlucky in that race, I think Midtown Boss can frank the form and go and win again. But, yeah, a number of them coming off recent wins. No Drama was good. He'll go forward. Russian Ronnie, as you said, got speed. He'll go forward. Girl, I liked its maiden win last time. And Craig Williams wants to be with her. Still looks a little bit like she's learning to me, but may improve. In Your Hands for Mickey.
Was a good win.
Huglin was a good win as well. So, yeah, competitive little race. I'll probably side with Midtown Boss.
The only little question, and Midtown Boss.
Midtown.
Obviously is
Midnight.
The one.
What did I call him? Midnight.
No, I did. Midtown Boss obviously is going to be the one to beat, but it had every favour last start, and it was getting tired on the line. Steps up at the 1,400 from gate 11.
Yeah, look, tired, maybe. I'm not sure. I want to see him at 14. He looks like a 1,400-meter horse to me. I think he's got the right sort of profile to just lob midfield and finish off strongly. I'm not riding him off.
Into $3.30 now.
He's short enough.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I wouldn't be backing him at that price. But he's the top pick.
Any knock on Russian Ronnie? Was it just a step up in class?
Not really. Well, most of these are just coming out of maidens or 64s, so they're all pretty similar. So he'd have some company in this race, but it was a good win.
And No Drama's a horse that we know came across from New Zealand with a bit of a rap on it, got beaten in Adelaide when I backed it. I can't believe it went around at, what price was it last start? It was
$9.
It was $9, and it absolutely spread eagled. And what about a good track for No Drama tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. He saw a good four last time at Bendigo. It probably wasn't as good as what he'll see tomorrow. Maybe a little bit more cushion in it on that occasion, but yeah, he's turned over twice at odds on, wasn't he, prior to that Bendigo win, so maybe punters had enough of him. He's drawn the rail. Is that the right spot for him? Not sure. If he ran well again, it wouldn't surprise. It's just a very, very even race. Calico Jack, you'd have to say, would be a chance in this race. He just got into an awkward spot at Cranbourne. He's usually up on speed. He wasn't there last time. He stayed on okay.
Yeah, I think even Dave Eustace said maybe Calico Jack might need to just improve a little bit more. We spoke to him this morning. But $3.30, is that a bet, Midtown
no.
Boss?
God, no. No, I'm not taking $3.30 in that field when, you know, six of them probably could win.
All right. Well, let's get on to the next race number four. And in this race, we've got Artika, who is the favourite here. And we spoke a little earlier to Dave Eustace, and he said, look, Detonator Jack's probably a bit too tight in the market, so I'm going to make Artika my best of the day. It's at $3.10. It's been fluctuating between $3, $3.10. Tasman Park's also well in the market at around about $4.80. Ostrata at $6.50. Beretta, $7. And then you're out to Ocean Blue at $10. Firstly, Beretta, I remember when it won on its Aussie debut here, we thought, gee, we might have a nice promising horse on our hands here, but it just hasn't lived up to that expectation, Sharky, has it?
Probably not. He's not racing poorly, though, and that lakeside run was the best he's put forward this preparation. I don't know if I could have him in this race. I'm not really sure there's enough. There's a little bit of speed with Son of Emperor, but there's probably not stacks of speed. I think he'll be running on late again. I don't know if I want to tumble into him to win. Gee, Gator gave Arctica a really good push yesterday, didn't
he? Best of the day.
Yeah, you know, I was sort of lukewarm on her when I first did this race, but you sort of listen to Gator and you listen to Dave Eustace, although Dave hasn't got the best record of identifying the best from the stable, does he? But you have to sort of elevate her, I think, on the basis of those sort of opinions. Maui race has turned out to be a pretty good form race, hasn't it? There's been a few winners come out of that, and others run well. So she might just be in the right place at the right time.
She was parked. Artika. Parked last start as well, three wide, facing the breeze.
It was an incredibly brave run, given where she was. I'm glad she ran fifth too, because I did not have her in the little first four that I had and got in that race. So she would have cost me on that occasion. But no, it was a really, really brave run. I don't see why she can't go and have an impact in this race and knock it over.
What do you make of Ostrata from the Lindsay Smith stable, formerly trained by Chris Waller, just the one run for Lindsay last start at Sandown?
Yeah, he's 6 years old. Sort of shown glimpses at times that he might make a decent middle distance horse, but overall he's been pretty poor.
Good morning, Lindsay. What do you think of Mick Sharkey's view of your horse being pretty poor?
Geez, we all get old. Some of us perform better when you get old. You just got to have a couple of tablets and away you go.
For the back, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a sore back at the minute. That's why, a bit of Panadol.
What have we learned about Ostrata, Linz, in the short time he's been with you?
Well, he's, obviously come from a great trainer, so it was a case of that I just really didn't do a lot with him. I sent him down the beach and I let him off a pony and I just didn't really train him, to be honest. So and he bounced back and his run the other day was quite good. Looked like he'd be better suited when he gets to 1800. But Dino's got a couple of races picked out, but he's drawn well. He obviously likes that track, so yeah, he won't be far away.
He's a horse that, I suppose, would you be looking at these class of races over the summer period?
Yeah, well, he might. You know, Dino's got a couple of 1800 metre races, or there's that Woodford Cup, and yep. There's a couple of them sort of races down at Warrnambool, which are $50,000 races. But it would be nice if he could win a Saturday race over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Gee, I thought No Drama was really good last start. Lindsay, I know, came over with a bit of a rap from New Zealand, and I don't know what the issue was at Horsham, but certainly bounced back really well last start at Bendigo.
Well, you know, we both had an issue that day. I was there, and I thought he'd win, but what happened was he had a good gait. He jumped up. We thought we'd just box-seat him, and we thought he'd win. He got buried in amongst him and refused to gallop. Very worried about him that day. And so when he went to Bendigo, we decided to send him to the front just so you could show the owners that he had some ability. And he beat a fair horse and a gap to the third horse. So he had a trial and a few gallops where we've just put him on the fence and opened the field up and let him come through. So he's had a couple of practices. So the perfect world, he grew one. So hopefully we can bury him on the fence tomorrow and he'll race a bit more tractable tomorrow and be hard to beat. But I just don't want him leading all the time and being a one-trick pony.
He's obviously got sort of better than average ability, or at least for this time of year, Linz, but he's still learning?
Yeah, he's still learning. A lot of them sort of new horses from New Zealand are quite the same, you know what I mean? They don't sort of... They come from a lot of the two-horse trainers and they've not really had that much experience. And, and he generally led and won his trials in New Zealand and he sat outside the leader here at Adelaide, his first start. So, yeah, he just got a bit lost when he was in amongst them and I think it was a good race what he won at Bendigo the other day.
I know you've only got a couple of runners tomorrow, but I just wanted to ask you about a couple that have been racing recently and going well. Harbin, good win a week or so ago. And the other one that I reckon's got good ability, but he probably just was a bit off last start, was Hedham. Where are they going and how are they going?
Yeah, well, Harbin, he'll race on Wednesday, 1,200 metre, benchmark 70. We think he's midweek and hopefully progress to a Saturday, especially this time of year. And Hedham was, he got the thumps the other day.
Okay.
Never had it before. He was disappointing. You know, people thought that the fence was off that day, but he was off a long way before. You know, it wouldn't matter what fence he was on there. he was just awful and pulled up quite ordinary. Because we're only 100 metres from the track by the time we got him home, even though he got vetted after the race. By the time he got home and we put him on the walker, his heart rate was jumping around all over the place. So he got the thumbs. Could be electrolyte, could be calcium. We'll try to change his speed, take him off the loosened hay. Just trying a couple of little things because he had 85 trials before I bought him. And Johnny Price, he never had an issue with Johnny and he's never had an issue with me. So hopefully it was just an imbalance and he'll be back because he's a nice horse.
I was going to ask you, I've got a horse that regularly gets the thumps and what is the cause of that? And does anyone actually know or is it a bit of a mystery?
Oh, no, some of them are not enough calcium, too much calcium, electrolyte imbalance, things like that. So, they treat it and it can be fixed.
Gee, Kissinger's a horse that's improved a hell of a lot. It was a great win in the Pakenham Cup. Has he come through that well? And what's his next target?
I'm a surf's up man. While you're there, I keep going. But He'd been up a long time, and yeah, we decided to put him in the paddock and give him a little bit of time and hopefully come back and maybe go through the Bendigo Cups and that again, that type of way, because I was thinking the Bagot, and I don't know how to say this out, Bina, but 200,000, I didn't know whether it was enough money to win another race. I thought that he'd try and keep his rating down a little bit and go for some higher stake money, you know, during the next year sometime.
I see
you got, make sense?
Yeah, no, it certainly does. I see you got one runner over in WA tomorrow, Our Win Spirit. And when does the stable wind up over in WA, Lindsay?
Yeah, no, it's got Our Win Spirit and Mystery Island. That's Mystery Island's heading to the Perth Cup. If he gets in it, that'll be the last day. So, yeah, it's nearly all she wrote. But anyway, it's something that most people thought I'd be a bit, just, you know, a bit sad, but it's worked for me the other way. I'm sort of glad I can focus on just being in Victoria. And as Shark will tell you, that over there you're classified as a city trainer here. So there's a lot of races I can't go in here in Victoria. So wow. I'll cancel the license over there and I'll become just a sole country trainer here. And there's a lot of races that I'll be able to, you know, nominate and race in, and that will help the owners over here, because at the sometimes now, like that race Matty Williams won with Torrigine, all the heats were 100,000 and that, and I couldn't get in them. And there were some horses here, but even though they mightn't have won the final, they had an opportunity to go for some good stake money at Hamilton and around some of my tracks here.
Well, it makes a lot of sense for everyone. How's the stable star, Tuvalu?
Yeah, I'm going good, thanks.
Well, how's the four-legged one?
Yeah, no, he's good. He's you know, he likes these days out in the sun, and yeah, he's once again, he didn't leave this, you know, he goes through our grass paddock down near the beach, and he looks in good fettle, so he'll be aimed at obviously the All-Star Mile, and I think he'll run 2,000 metres, and the way his style is, if he can run 2,000 metres, he'll be a dangerous horse because just of his style and at the speed he goes along. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing him at 2,000 metres.
This is our time, Lindsay, Tuvalu and I. Hey. Sun is shining.
Oh, well,
break down that Bill of Reuben.
Oh, well, that's it, mate. That's, and his coat looks beautiful, and you can see him when he stands out in the sun. He turns his coat up, and he knows that, you know, while the sun's out, he's and he does feel better the next day. So it's not an imagination, but, you know, it's good that we've brought him them lights. So when it is a bit dark and gloomy, he can go under the lights as well. But, obviously, we just keep an eye on him, and it's sort of, if you keep, you know, it doesn't sort of worry him race day. He just does what he does and rolls the up on the speed and hard to beat.
Well, as long as he's drinking less than Mick Sharkey is over this festive season, he'll be right.
Yeah, well, that's it. But, no, but thanks for giving me a call, and we'll speak soon, eh?
No drama, the best?
Yeah, I'd say so. But, you know, I'm not saying he's going there to learn, but he could sort of still be a little bit vulnerable. So maybe just watch.
All right. Good on you, Linz. Cheers, mate.
Giddy up, boy.
Lindsay Smith, before we take a break, Sharky, just give us your selections in race five. You were saying you think Artika's the one to beat.
Yeah, Artika for me in race four. Yeah, number two.
Race four, sorry. Tasman two. Park, there's an SMS asking what chance do you give it? It's undefeated, 2 from 2.
He's in the mix, isn't he? 2 for 2, he's done nothing wrong. So he's done it on soft tracks, I will say. So we'll see him on top of the ground tomorrow for the first time.
All right, Arctica, the one for Sharky in race number four. We'll take a quick break. More to come on Friday Form Focus after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We are up to race number 5 of the Sandown Hillside Meeting, and for a lot of punters, this could be the key race of the day. It's not a leg of the quaddie, the main quaddy. It's the final leg of the early quaddy. And, gee, the market's really gone hard on Detonator Jack. It's now into $1.85 favourite. We spoke a little earlier to Dave Houston. He said, I'm surprised it's that short when it's taking on Green Fly once again. And Green Fly is the second favourite. Meets it slightly worse off at the weights after beating Detonator Jack home last start. It's at $3. And then it's out to $11, the rest pounding. It is the old-fashioned two-horse race. This is what Sam Freeman had to say about Green Fly.
He's a fairly unassuming horse. He only just works within himself when he's on his own, and you work him in company and he really switches on. So he's fitting well. He should really appreciate the mile. And, I think between him and Detonator Jack, they're probably two very progressive horses who are, going through their grades, and we're hopeful of getting our rating up and trying to get into a nice handicap in the autumn on soft or heavy ground. So hopefully Saturday's a step in the right direction.
I think there's no doubt that they're two very progressive horses. Interesting that Sam Freeman said maybe a learning curve with Green Fly about how he performs on a firmer deck tomorrow as well. Yeah. Would you have that much of a difference in the market, $185 v $3?
Probably not. But it looks like Green Fly might appreciate some giving the ground, so I think that's probably helping to sway the market at this point of the game. But, yeah, we'll learn more about that horse tomorrow. I don't think there's much between them at all, really. So, Detonator Jack, I think people looking at that run thinking, oh, well, he was second up and maybe in the wrong part of the track and gave the other horse 3.5 kegs. I just think it's a bit of an overreaction, though, to what we saw there.
So will you be tipping Greenfly to beat him again?
I'm probably looking at Detonator Jack and thinking he might be better on top of the ground than the other horse. But I don't know if I want to tumble into him at $1.90. What price is Extra Elusive, Michael?
$16 you can have Extra Elusive.
Well, I know he's $8. But for a horse that's got group form in Europe around some pretty handy horses, I would have thought $16 in this field is a little generous. He's won a jump out. He's had a couple of jump outs actually to be ready for this. He won his most recent jump out. He didn't do it in spectacular fashion, but he has got more ability than a horse at $16 in this field, if you know what I mean. That's a silly price.
What has he? I haven't seen the jump outs or the trials. What has he?
They've been okay. He was at Mortlake. He won his heat at Mortlake recently. Before that, he had a couple of spins around at Ararat and Terang and looked okay. Yeah. But you look at his form. His form is strong. He's $8, yes. But hasn't been heavily taxed during his career. And he's got form around horses that, if they were in this race, would just eat this field.
He's got beaten a long way, but he's been in the same races as Adaya, Mishriff. And as he said, he's been racing in group and listed company pretty much his entire career.
He's kind of been beaten, He's a Group 3 winner going back a couple of years now. He's beaten Zaki. You've got to remember that. Like, he won a race called the Rose of Lancaster Stakes at Haydock going back to 2020, and Zaki was well adrift of him in that race. So he does have the talent.
He hasn't run for a year. He's got good track form. So would you be willing or wanting to play $16 each way instead of backing Detonator Jack, who's got form and fitness on its side?
That's what I'm getting at. Like, Detonator Jack and Greenfly, yes, two-horse race, absolutely agree. They're the absolute standouts in the race. But if you're talking about having a bet and trying to find value in the race, Detonator Jack at $1.90, is that value? Probably not. Greenfly, is there value in him at $3.30, $3.50? Maybe a little bit. I'll tell you, there's a lot more value at $16 for Extra Elusive if he turns up.
All right, Sharky. He likes the internationals.
They've just got such a good record at their first runs in Australia. They invariably race very, very well. They might not win every start, but they race very, very well. And this horse has been underestimated in the market.
So just to be clear, your only pot on Detonator Jack is the price.
I'm just nagging the price.
If it was $2.50, you'd be
backing. Because I'm greedy. I'm just nagging the price. That's
okay.
All.
All right. So at the value, at the price, extra exclusive at $16 is the value play from the Shark. Do you think Detonator Jack beats Homegrown Flow?
Yeah, he probably does. Given the weight turnaround, I know Matt Cartwright's claim helps again, but yeah, I just think Detonator Jack's probably on a dry track. He's probably got. I'm banking on him being that little bit better.
All right. Detonator Jack, Green Fly are the two that the market likes, but if you want a little bit of value to build your bank before the quaddie, you can have something each way on extra exclusive. Willow Rides for Simon Wild at $16, $2.90 in race number five. First leg of the quaddie is race number six. We'll also catch up with Philip Stokes. We might take a quick break. When we come back, it will be the quaddie at Sandown on the Hillside Circuit.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Well, welcome back to Racing Pulse. We've got plenty to get through. We've got the SMSs. If you want to ask Sharky a question or just give us a Christmas tip, it is 0412 90 0416 90 50 52. And Leroy from Perth, g'day fellas. Last day of our carnival, I have a three-leg multi to send you into early retirement.
Here we go.
Get your pens ready. Race
get
six
it, Leroy.
Tomorrow. Number eight, Real Danger. So race six, number eight, which is Real Danger, $3.60. Then we are into race seven, number three, Alsphenia. Race seven, number three, Alsphenia, $2.70. And then we bring it home, race 10 in the last, number four, Billy Ain't Silly at $5.50.
Righto.
So there is a bit of juice there, a $60 all up. Race 6-8, race 7-3, race 10-4. That is from Leroy in Perth. Hey, Blue Eyes, I've got the answer to the broccoli ham. Well, we've got a Batoki ham question coming up later, but the broccoli ham question, Lindsay takes blue tablets. Good on you, Kenny. I should have read that before I actually set it out on air. Jeff, I think the Cunning Fox might get out in price. I need it to be longer now. We'll get to the Cunning Fox in a moment, but is it a bit tight in the market, Sharky?
Cunning Fox?
$4?
Nah. I don't know if it's too short. It's a pretty average sort of race. He looks like he's close to a win. I reckon he's around the money.
Okay. Another SMS here. Hey, guys, I've got a special in Perth for you, and this isn't... This isn't Leroy. Race 10, number four.
Oh.
Billy Ain't Silly.
There you go. There's second, a groundswell behind
second
Billy.
Second up specialist, loyal listeners in WA. Billy Ain't Silly, you can get $5.50, race 10, number four, which we may need at 8:33 on Saturday night if we haven't found a winner or two at Sandy.
Killers are on at 9. Yeah, I could fit that one in, I think, before we just
You'll
launch.
Be charging then. I'll
tell you something. I'll be airborne.
They will be wide open at
8:33. I'll be airborne.
Let's get into the first leg of the quaddie tomorrow at Sandown. And it's over 1,400 metres. The market here has So You See as the favourite. Any early scratchings? No, not at this stage. So You See's at $3.40. Life Lessons, I thought it had its measure. With no excuses for So You See. Last starts the second favourite at $4.60. Belle Rish is at $6. Rote to Arataki is at $7.50. And Santero, we spoke to Paddy Payne, $8, was very unlucky last week. Basically just had a bit of a track gallop because it couldn't get out, so they're backing her up again. We also spoke to Mike Moroney. He said he was disappointed So You See didn't win last start. He expected her to win. He's hoping it will go better tomorrow.
I'm pretty confident that we've got her right for this one, and that she's fit. This won't be a question, and she's tightened up all round. And we've kept the back at this trip and put the blinkers back on. We took them all for a last start. I didn't think the way she tried, she really needed them. But that's the other thing. Maybe that I was wrong, or maybe she needed them on. She'd only had them on for the Australian Oaks, and her work has been good in them. So you know, we're hoping that this combination of that will see her back to a real form.
What do you make of the run last start? It wasn't a bad run, but no. She was expected to run by Life Lessons.
Well, I thought it was a good run. Life Lessons got fitness on her, coming off throat up, soft track. Yeah, a few little things maybe contributed there. I'm with her here. I think I want to try her as a sort of a more confident bet of the day, as Mike was
saying.
Bet
of the day?
Yeah, I think so. Well, she's got more ability than any of these. It's just a matter of whether the throat operations worked. I think you probably get a chance here to find out at a decent price. What is she, 350, did you say?
340.
Well, that's a fair enough price to take on a horse of her ability. If she comes out and wins, you're probably not getting that next time. And if she loses, well, you just, I guess, put the pen through her for a little while. Maybe the throat op hasn't worked. I think the race is thin enough. I'm happy to have a crack at her here and expecting improvement fitness-wise off that first up run.
Is that why you think she'll turn the tables? A little bit of a weight differential, yeah, and more fitness on life,
yeah,
lessons?
Yeah, she did give life lessons 3.5 kilos last time. So there's only two between them here. And life lessons had that benefit of an extra run under her belt. Life lessons has obviously got good ability and was in a position settling just ahead of, so you see, and was quickening up and, you know, as well as, if not better, than the second horse. So, yeah, she's obvious danger. Cardigan Queen, she would be the other one. I love the first up run. Second up, just got into a really awkward spot. A race wasn't run to suit. She was a drifter on that occasion. She'd be the only other one I'd put in the quaddy. But
really?
Yeah, I'll have a win bet on So You See and see how we go.
Because, hi boys, Ballet Rish Race 6, got to be a must for the quaddy. Benny Three Bets has it as his belly. That's from Scooby. You're leaving it out.
No, leaving it out.
Wow. Okay, quaddy numbers first, leg.
Quaddy numbers are 6, 7 and 9.
6, 7 and 9. So Cardigan Queen, So You See, and number 9, Life Lessons, the best bet of the day is So You See. Race number 7 is over 1,400 metres. No, hang on. Race number 7 is over 1,800 metres, and this is where we get to see the cunning fox. It's at $4. Patrick Payne's a pretty reserved bloke. I said, do we bet today? He goes, yep, definitely have a bet. The cunning
fox. Do we win today or do we bet today?
Do we bet today?
Oh, okay. When did you have him on? I missed him this morning.
Oh, you were probably looking for stuck in traffic.
I was listening to the vinyls, actually.
Well, why would you ask when did you have him on? I didn't listen when you weren't even listening to the station.
No, I was trying to get, like, wound up. I was trying to G myself up.
The Divinals.
The Divinals, yeah.
What's her name? Lizzie Amf?
Chrissy
Amford.
Oh, my God. What a woman.
We won't go into that. Right, You Are's at $5.50. Chandon Burge at $7.50. Ain't No Deal Done, $9. And is there a sneaky chance to be given to Peter Moody's Princess Rainey's and also C. Marie, who they didn't have any luck last start. Could they be blowouts at bigger prices?
Maybe Princess Rainey's. Most of her good work's been done against the girls at this point of the game. I'll probably want to see her win a race against the boys at this sort of standard before charging into her. C. Marie, yeah, nice run last time too. She was okay in that mare's race on Cup Day. Yeah, it didn't really grab me in this race. I ended up landing on the Cunning Fox, but not with massive confidence. It's more so that he just looks to be the horse going somewhere out of this race. He showed good potential, didn't he, during his winter/autumn 3-year-old preparation. Second to a Legron in a St. Ledger. Well, Legron's turned up and run really well and was nearly single figures in a Caulfield Cup. So that form obviously stood up during the spring. Different horse, the Cunning Fox, but still the form lines are positive enough. Gray's race run was good. Ballarat run was good. 1,800 metres, third up. Alana Kelly, I love her work. Good gait. Top pick. I think it picks itself.
Well, it's the
race.
Obvious. He never runs a bad race when he's in his distance range.
No.
Patrick Payne said he can sit closer from gate 3. He does look the bomb-proof. And you are getting a decent price still. I mean, it was $5 yesterday. It's now into $4. Right, You Are's honest, but he's finding it hard to win.
Yeah, and he's got some issues too, that horse. He hasn't had many starts for his age, and he's sort of one or two runs into a prep, then he's out, and he might have three next time, then he's out again. So he's clearly had some niggles over his lifespan.
Ain't Holster's No Deal Done. Well. Can it improve?
It can improve, but you know, we're sort of sitting around waiting for this horse now, aren't we? You know, last time, I think he was prepping up really well towards that Vobis Gold race at Caulfield. Grand Slam got him and got him by some margin in that race. I thought there would be less between them on that occasion. Again, what did they get offered? $2 million or something like that to sell this horse early days?
Maybe more.
You know what I keep saying?
Always
sell.
Always.
Always sell.
Quaddy numbers, race number 7.
Well, you need a stack of them here. 2, 3, 5, 8, 11, and 12.
2, 3, 5, 8, 11, and 12. You just said the Cunning Fox is the obvious, and you're stacking that leg of the quaddy.
Well, I am, yeah, because if he doesn't win, it's wide open. And so, I'm not saying he's an absolute rusted on moral. I think that it's away from him, it's a very, very open race.
2, El Gladiator. 3, Holster. 5, Right You Are. 8, Ain't No Deal Done. 11, Glentonius, which is an interesting runner. And number 12, The Cunning Fox. We've got 5 minutes. We might have a quick chat to Philip Stokes, and then we'll finish our preview of the Sandown meeting. There's a few SMSs to get through as well. We'll go through to 10:30, so don't despair. We'll get to those SMSs, and it's always great to catch up with Philip Stokes. How are you, Philip?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Gee, you've got a couple of nice runners heading to Sandown tomorrow, and you've got Savannah Cloud absolutely airborne at the moment going around in race 8.
Yeah, he's going really well. We're a little bit suspect about him running the mile out, but he did it well the other day and comes back a little bit in trip, but couldn't be happier with him.
Sorry, Phil, I'm just scrolling through here to find this fella. He's been a horse that sort of flirted with putting a few together early in his career. What's been the change for him now that he's sort of gone whack whack? Has there been a change to his mental application that you've noticed?
I think just an older horse, and he had a wind operation earlier in his career. And sometimes it takes them a while to sort of get used to breathe. You know, it just takes a while to get used to it, and he's really hit his straps now.
I know he had everything fall his way last start at Moonee Valley. He didn't have to go around a runner, and Matty rode him beautifully. But, gee, he was so soft on the line. Is he a horse that's, you think, continuing to improve? And what do you think about stepping back to the 14 from the 16?
I'm not too fussed about that. I actually thought 14 is probably his ideal trip, maybe. Well, he was strong the other day. So we haven't done much with him, just kept him happy. And it was just the right sort of benchmark race to keep him ticking over in his right grade, you know. So stand down, good barrier claim, he'll run well.
Tell us about Red Hot Nick, who goes around in race number 9. This is another horse that has shown a lot of ability, but just finds it hard to win. Only won the 2... from 13 starts, that red card form 2 starts ago has been franked, and I think he wasn't too far away from Stay In Touch last time in as well.
Yeah, so he was a breeze up horse, very bold going sort of horse, and we've had a lot of trouble trying to get him to relax. Zach seems to have the key to him. I probably made a mistake running the other day in the Magic Millions race. I just thought he was eligible, good prize money, and then the rain came and he didn't. I mean, he was sort of out there punching the breeze. It just didn't go right last start, so forget about that. But I feel he's going well. He's an each-way chance, and, you know, I can't fault him, but we've just got to sort of see him, like you said, string a few together.
What about Typical You in the 3rd? Sort of got building a decent little record.
Yeah, he's a really nice progressive horse. He won his maiden impressively at Cranbourne. Then he went to Sandown, and he hurt himself in the truck going there. He kicked out and he sort of moved his shoe. The other day, he sort of missed a bit of work, et cetera, going into that run the other day and probably was just found wanting. So he's in good order. It's it's a tough enough race, but I think we think he's got nice ability and he'll give a good account of himself. Otherwise, we wouldn't be running him.
Sounds like the best is Savannah.
Yes.
All right, Savannah Cloud is the best. Do you like Celsius Star tonight?
Blinkers go on, and if he doesn't do it tonight in the 58, I think he has to have the ultimate gear change.
Yeah, and I see you're taking Call Me Seamus back across the border. Oh, it's based in Adelaide at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he's been there for quite a while, so yeah, he's going good. He's a back marker that always runs on, and, you know, he always wins a couple every prep. You sort of back him at your laurel, but he'll run good.
Good on you, Philip. Best of luck.
Thank you.
I'll get your tips for races 8 and 9 after the 10 o'clock news. I do have an SMS here. Morning, Blue Eyes. My daughter's working at the Killers concert on Saturday.
Oh.
Do I need to put out an extreme warning that the shark will be in the house? Everyone enter at their own risk?
Well, Maybe.
Just tell her to look out for a middle-aged, balding male who thinks he's still a teenager. And tell him to escort him out of the building. Time for the 10 o'clock news. More to come after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. We are almost through our look at Sandown Hillside. We are up to race number 8, where we've had a good chat to Philip Stokes, who's told us that Savannah Cloud is his best of the day. I've got a few SMSs to get through as well, Sharky, but the favourite in that race is Riot and Rose from the Moody Yard at $4.20. Savannah Cloud's at $4.60. Mac and Cheese is an interesting runner at $8.50. What happened to it last start?
It just did nothing.
He's our Bonneville at $9.50, and then you're out to Do Your Punk at $9.50. Oh, I think this is a pretty intriguing race because He's Our Bonneville comes through better form lines than a lot of these runners. Do Your Punk, does it get out and run just as well over the 1,400? And Right and Rose, it's probably arguably the best horse in a race that might not have been suited first up on those wet conditions, gets back on a good surface. So, are you keen to play in this race, Sharky, or are there a number of hopes that confuse you?
I'm a fan of Mac and Cheese, but what the hell happened last time? That was a bit of a head-scratcher, that run. I thought she was primed there to go and run really well. Interestingly, the market on race day did not like her at all. She was single figures out at $12 and kept drifting too. So maybe she was in season, just off her game, not sure. Kettle Hill number 13 interests me each way. His form isn't screamingly good. He's been favourite at most of his starts. That's a good indication he's got better than average ability. The form around him is good handicap level in the UK. He's run up behind a horse called Turn on the Charm, which we've seen out here win to Metropolitan Grade in at Flemington and also in Queensland recently too. So we know the form kind of levels out at okay at this time of year. He's had a couple of jump outs. I thought he's been well held together in both of those. He's just been cruising around there, and I think there might be a bit more of a turn of foot up his sleeve when he's asked to go.
It was a pretty good push from Dave Eustace this morning too about how this horse has shown a fair bit. Different style of horse to what Nugget is, who we've seen be really sharp. He probably is not as sharp, but he said he certainly showed that he's got good ability.
Well, I think there's a... he's already... Like, you can see that on his European form, that he's got good ability. I think there's an expectation with these imports. People see them and immediately think, oh, group horse. But they're not all group horses. And this... I would be surprised if this bloke plugs in and is immediately a group horse. But what I would expect him to be able to do is win his way through the grades a little bit. You know, he's got room to move at the handicap, and he could be the sort of horse that puts a couple together in a little sequence, you know, in the off season. I reckon that's where he sort of presents in these summer months. So I'm looking at him and thinking at, was he $10?
$10.
I reckon he's an each way bet in this race. I really like Morrissey's first run, this preparation. I know he's had a couple of goes for Simon Ryan, but this is Simon's first full prep with Morrissey, and he hit the line really well. At Ararat behind Do Your Punk. Do Your Punk's in the game. Vazmi's a good 1,400 metre horse.
Back to 1,400 Vazmi from a good soft gate.
Well, that's his go.
He'll be in it for a long while.
Look, Nathan Dunn's a good trainer, and he got those two horses into that final, and you had to have a go with Vazmi. You had to. You had to find out if he was going to run the mile. Unfortunately, he didn't run the mile. But he didn't run poorly. He was still there and fighting and in the game up until, you know, that stage of the race when the heat really went on at the 200. So he definitely is a chance in this race. It's another wide leg of the quaddy for me. Kettle Hill would be the top pick.
Right and Rose? What's your thoughts on Right and Rose?
Yeah, nice run first up. We'll improve into this. Probably this run or third up, he'd be winning, I would have thought.
He's our Bonneville doesn't win, but
he's been up for so long. Like, where's the improvement in the horse? Mm. He'll probably run to the same level as he did last time. Is that level good enough to win? Don't know. it wasn't good enough at benchmark 78 level two back or three back. So, yeah, I'm leaving him out.
All right, so your numbers in race eight?
Race eight, 5, 7, 8, 10, 12, 13. It's a wide leg. 10,
12 and 13. So, yep. 5, which is Morrissey at a good price, $23. 7, Vazmi, also a good price, about $19. Number 8, Do Your Punk, 7. Hang on, I've already got 7. So, 5, 7, 8 is at 9. Zoltan, is that in?
No.
All right, well, I've just
added 5, 7, 8, 10, okay. 12, 13.
10, which is Wright and Rose. Mm-hmm. 12, which is Mac and Cheese. You're giving another chance to in Kettle Hill. In the number 13 is the last one in. That brings us to the last of 9 races. This is over the 1,000. It's a benchmark 70. And if you thought the first 3 legs were tough, welcome to the last. Psy is the $6 favourite. Midnight Charm, $7. Stay in Touch, $7.50. Red Hot Nick, $8. Elite Icon, $10. I should ask you who can't win.
Well, I'm going to skinny this right up.
Really?
Yep. Well, we've gone so wide in those middle two legs, I'm going to trim this right up. I reckon Elite Icon back on top of the ground is a huge chance in this race. He's copped two heavy tracks. I don't think he likes heavy ground at all. If you go on his good track form, he's right in this race. And he is what price?
$10. Well, $3.40.
That's crazy. I think on a good track, he should be single figures. Propice? Propus?
Yes, interesting runner.
Number 13, Propus.
Now with Lee Hope, first up, $15, so trialled well.
We know this horse as I Love Myself from a pretty good debut going back to February 2020. He won a listed race at Flemington at his first start and then was sold to Hong Kong. So obviously he's had a bit of a troubled career up there. He has jumped out and won with something in hand. I am not letting him go around without being in my quaddie. And the other one, which has had a little stable change, and I think needs to be included in everything, is Philosopher, number 18.
Yep. EJ.
Placed in a blue diamond preview. Led them up in a prelude and just probably overcooked it a little bit. Back to this level. I think he's a really lively chance with EJ, who gets these tried horses on Mutinous the other day. You know, he gets them and turns them around. He's a very, very patient trainer, and they don't go to the races until they're ready.
$15 for Philosopher. Gate one, does he need a little bit of luck to get through?
Maybe. One? Yeah, he's got good speed, so I think he'll put himself there.
All right, numbers in the final leg of the quad.
Elite Icon number 8 is on top. 13 and 18 are the other two for the quaddie.
13 and 18. 13 is Propice and 18, Philosopher. Has Philosopher got into the field as yet? He still needs one
yet,
needs one more scratching.
Yeah, something will come out.
Now, I just want to... A Philosopher going around tonight, Sharky. So
okay.
That might put a little...
just run with the two then.
Pin in your balloon. Oh, come on. In the last leg.
Yep.
You're not going to... What about Stay in Touch? What about Psy?
Which one do you like more?
I'll go with Psy, PG Moody.
Oh, no, actually, do you know what we'll do? We'll put Red Hot Nick in number 10. I like what Philip Stokes said about him. And the horse is obviously a little bit tricky. And Zach Spain, as he said, has the key to the horse. Look at his form around Red Card, Diamond, Zach DeBoss. No, that's good enough for this.
Good form. But you want to put Red Hot Nick in when Philip Stokes said his best of the day tomorrow is Savannah Cloud. And we've got a few SMSs saying here, has Shark lost his marbles? He didn't put Savannah Cloud in the quaddie.
I didn't put
it. Why have you left Savannah Cloud out of the quaddie?
Just left it out.
Just a feeling?
Yeah, just a feeling.
Just in the crystals?
Just left it out.
In the crystals?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. No Savannah Cloud. It was correct. I didn't read out the wrong numbers.
Did I leave it out? No, I did. I left it out.
Gee whiz.
Left
All
it
right.
out.
6, 7, 9. First leg of the quaddie. 2, 3, 5, 8, 11, 12. Into 5, 7, 8, 10, 12, 13. Into 8, 13, 18. Best of the day, Sandown.
Well, 8, 10, and 13 now in the last. If Philosopher gets in, put it in too. If it's running tonight, as somebody has alerted us to, back it tonight.
Well, we'll have to see what price it is. One SMS here. G'day, boys. Oyster from Bo Morris.
The oyster.
I'm going to deliver you a Christmas turkey for all the loyal listeners. You'll be stuffing it full of cash after we get this home tomorrow.
Turkey
back
stuff
in Ascot.
With cash.
Everyone wants to play in Ascot tomorrow. Race 6, number 7, which is hardly ever.
Well, that's going against old mate.
Race 6, number 7.
We're already on race 6, number 8.
Well, it's the $3 favourite.
Hardly ever's a favourite.
Yep. Simon Miller, who's in form. Stay out of trouble this weekend, Shark. That is from Oyster.
Never.
We'll take a quick break. Trouble when we come back, name. We're going to get your thoughts on the Ingham. A couple of races in Sydney. I want to get your thoughts on the Tab Touch Gold Rush, the $1.5 million race over in WA. And you can give us a Hong Kong winner as well. Anything out wide, we've got plenty to choose from. Keep the SMSs coming through. And don't forget, we've got the real A-grader, Josh from Horsham, still to come.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Time to have a look up north for the $2 million Ingham. Unfortunately, for a lot of punters who were banking on Nugget getting a run, he is still sitting outside the final field in what looks, it just looks a raffle, Shark. $2 million, as you'd expect. This is the old Villiers. It is a full field at the moment, not one scratching, 20 runners plus emergencies. It is with Nugget in the field at the moment, or in the betting at $3.30. Huetor is at $6.50. Dajran at $8.50. Brutality, $8.50. Riadini, $9. But you could throw a pin at any of them in this race. Is there one that you are a little keen on in the Ingham?
Oh, I keep backing Brutality.
You do,
he
every
keeps
week.
Disappointing me every time he goes around. Except last week. I didn't back him last week, I will say. But I watched the race. I thought, oh, yeah, you're getting ready for a mile somewhere. And here he is. I'm going to back him again. He'll probably disappoint me again. He gets back. He runs on late. He sucks me in every bloody time. But I'm going to go again.
So you'll take the $8.50 on offer.
Oh, surely I get better than that. Surely I get better. I don't know, honestly, how he's single figures, because this is such an open race. He's not going that well that he should be $8.50. I reckon north of $10 is his proper price. So I might just hang around and wait and see what we get tomorrow. I thought Dymel was a life chance too. What price was he?
Dymel is, let me have a look here. What price have we got Dymel? Hang on, I'm in the wrong race. Dymel is a $10 chance as well.
Not overly generous, this market, is it? You know, it's open, but they're sort of not giving you much on a few of these.
Nugget, if it doesn't get a run, is $1.90 in race number 9.
Well, he should just go and beat those, surely.
Yeah, you'd rather take $1.90 Nugget than $1.85 Detonator Jack?
Yeah, in that field, I think I probably do, yeah.
Any look at the two-year-olds up there? It's a $500,000 Inglis Nursery.
I haven't got that far yet. I'll be an interested onlooker at this point. Blanc de Blanc was a narrow winner, considering it went off at $1.12 last time. I'd suggest that it would have more ability than a short head winner at Newcastle, given the price it was on that occasion. So maybe she can improve.
We'll have Ron Duffercy on a little later, so I'll pick his brains. But, gee, it's been well back for sale.
Yeah, hasn't
from
it?
From the Gerald Ryan
trapeze stable, artist.
Yeah, into $2. So it is the firm favourite, the $500,000 Inglis. Let's head over to the west now, Shark, because this is a $1.5 million race, the Tab Touch Gold Rush. Villana had to... is it vetted today or tomorrow? There was a little hoof issue. But reports from the stable are that it will be A-OK. It's drawn gate 1. Ben Mellum rides, and it's the firm $4 favourite. Kiss on all four cheeks, $4.80. The stable mate to Villana is Kementari. It's at $7.50, and then you're out to Elite Street, $9.50. And the Astrologist is also in contention at around about $13. Do you think the Blue Army are the ones to beat here?
Oh, yeah. It's never good to have a setback, though, is it? You know, the week of a target race, and Villana has had that. So it's not perfect. He's very hard to beat, as is Kementari. They bring, you know, Everest form Kementari into this race and then was great behind Private Eye in the winner's race. So that's super form. I just looked at that run of Elite Street in the Winterbottom. He was wide, no cover there. flushed out early. Brad Rawilla had to go with him because the horse took itself into the race so well, quickened up, and then just, I wonder whether that effort just, you know, that wide run just told on him that last 150 metres. He's drawn wide again. Maybe that means they sit a bit quieter on him. There's okay speed in this race. Just looked at him as an each-way bet. Great winning strike rate. Good horse. 1,400. Okay, he's been there once before. It wasn't a horrible run. He just got a mile back and ran home past half the field. I thought at each-way odds, he was a nice little chance.
Yeah, Elite Street is a $9.50, $3.10 chance. And I mean, Kiss on All Four Cheeks has been up for a long while, but just continues to race really well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the Astrologist, do you give it a chance? 1,400? They're going to roll forward?
Yeah, 1,400 rolling forward, I think that's a good scenario. He's got a good record at 1,400, hasn't he? Well, we think of him as a rusted-on 1,200-metre horse, but he's three runs at 14 have all been pretty good.
We're racing at the Valley tonight. We've got the dual meetings, Cranbourne and Moonee Valley tonight. Is there anything out wide that has caught your eye, Sharky?
There were a couple at the Valley. Let me just try and find. Well, Philosopher, if he's running there in that 9.55, I'm going to have something on him. Where's that other horse that I found? I had it on the right race before Miguel, and I've changed it. Chester Warrior, race 7, number 2. Really liked its jump outs, and it kicks off in a 1,200-metre race. I think he's a bit better than Class 1 sort of areas.
And Philosopher goes around in race number 6. It's a $4.40 chance there as well. The Valley on a Friday night, the firmest favourite is Lady Jones in race for $1.75. And don't forget, Mark Hunter will give us all of his mail with a full preview coming up after 11 o'clock. Joshy from Horsham, has he been in good form the last week when I was away, Joshy?
Joshy's always in good form.
He doesn't miss. He always has a winner.
Not that he doesn't miss, but he always finds one. Yeah.
Oh, I think he's dropped out. He might be shearing sheep somewhere up the back paddock. So yeah, we'll get Joshy from Horsham back on because there are so many provincial country races this weekend. And we must give a shout out to the team at Woolamai. Finally, we get a picnic meeting at a traditional picnic track this weekend. So if you can't make it into town and you don't have much to do, it's going to be a magnificent day weather-wise tomorrow. It'd be great to head out to Woolamai. So we wish everyone all the best there as well. Joshy from Horsham is back. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm really good, guys. How you doing?
Very well. Gee, you've got a smorgasbord to choose from this weekend.
Oh, I know. There's a lot going on, isn't there? A bit jealous of you, Shark, heading to the Killers tonight.
Oh, it'll be outstanding. Josh, I'll tell you what, when he hits that Samstown catalogue and rolls out Read My Mind, and When You Were Young, You'll Hear Me from Horsham.
Ah, When You Were Young, what a cracker.
What an absolute all-time tune.
Gee, do you know what I'm looking forward to? Is seeing Sharky tomorrow morning live on air at 8:30 on racing.com.
No, well, that's all right because the gig's later on that day. So I'll be...
Oh, you're not going tonight, you're going tomorrow night.
No, I'll be frothing tomorrow.
So what are you doing tonight? You had another gig tonight, didn't you?
What am I doing tonight? No, basketball coaching.
Oh, you had
tonight.
Another... Was it last night you had a gig?
Monday night, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. Still recovering from that.
Well... That's disappointing. You'll probably still be hungover tomorrow anyway. Anyway, Joshy, where do we go for our weekend winners?
Oh, we're going to start today at Mowi, race 4, number 11, LED. She was in the betting and ran well on debut, was second to Masashi. It came out and spanked him again at Mornington by about 4 or 5 lengths after that. That form's good enough to win this. So that's Mowi, race 4, number 11.
LED, race 4, number 11. You can get 320 at the moment from the John Sadler stable, who is flying at the moment. All right, so that's Mowi.
Yep, and then we'll skip Saturday. We'll head straight to Sunday. Bendigo, race 5, number 4, Bifrost. It was good, late behind the in-form runner, Stabler. So it was first up there. We'll get a guide on that run tomorrow in the last at Sandown, see how Stabler goes. It's good. It's drawn for a good run. It's an open race, but you can get each way odds for it at the moment, and I reckon it'll be in the finish.
Yeah, that's Bifrost from the Emma Lee and David Brown stable. The Kiwis who have made Australia home. In just looking up the market, race 5, number 4, you get $9 at the moment.
Yeah, she's an open event, but yeah, it just jumped out at me. I reckon it's a great each way play.
All right, that is Bendigo on the Sunday. Is there anything else for the listeners?
Yeah, we've got a couple of Border Town on Sunday as well. Race 3, number 17, Rock DJ. Now, it's third emergency. It needs to get a run, but if it does, I think it just goes there and wins. It's Henry Dwyer's runner. It was a good winner at Seymour after sitting wide and then was very good at Ararat in the wrong part of the track. So if it gets a run, I think it's probably the best of the weekend.
All right. Race 3, number 17, Border Town. Best of the weekend if it gets a run. And what was the other Border Town runner you liked?
In the Border Town Cup, race 7, number 5, Dr. DD for Daryl Godson, who trains at the track. He'd love to win his hometown cup. This bloke ran second in the Donald Cup and was very, very good there. And then was good again in Adelaide in a stronger race last start. So he only needs to run up to his recent form and it'll just win the hometown cup.
I love it when Josh is so confident on a Sunday. On a Sunday at Border Town. So best of the weekend if it gets a run. Race 3, number 17, into it should just win. Race 7, number 5 in the Border Town Cup. On Sunday, we're also playing Bendigo Race 5, number 4, which is a $9 chance by Frost. And then Mowi today, we can kick off the account Race 4, number 2. And that sounded like it was a pretty confident selection today as well, wasn't it, Josh?
Race 4, number 11.
11, sorry. Race 4, number 11.
LED. LED. I think it'll run top 2. So there's really only the other runner in the market, which
Distorted.
Is escaping me at the moment. I haven't got it in front of me.
Shay Eden's first starter, is it? Distorted?
Yeah.
No, something ran second.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Kodiak.
Yep. I think those two have probably got it between them, but I'm leaning towards LED just for the fact of what Masashi did the next start.
You're a legend. Well done, Joshy.
Have a great weekend. Good luck tomorrow night, Chuck.
Thanks, Joshy. I'll hold up at the end for you, mate.
You'll see it all on social media. He'll put it out there on Instagram and Twitter for us all to live vicariously through the middle-aged teenager.
Well, there's no middle age here. I'm still in my 30s.
Just.
Oh, what a tune.
Well, you get inspired. I want to pick your brain.
What a song.
International meeting on Sunday, Sharky, before here we say comes. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Now, you'll be all over this because it is a cracking afternoon of racing in Hong Kong. Have you had a look at the major races? Does Golden 60 win again?
Oh, does he win again?
$1.70?
$1.70 is pretty short, isn't it? But he is the local superstar. So, look, he's got to be your starting point there. Has to be.
In the Vase, Glory Vase, you love the Japanese gallopers. This horse is going for 3 Hong Kong Vases in 4 years.
Glory Vase, yeah, absolutely. Is Panther Lassa in that race as well, isn't he?
No, Panther Lassa
is in the other race.
Yep.
So I'm just trying to refresh pages here.
It's in the cup up against Romantic Warrior, where there's about 6 Hong Kong runners in that race as well.
Yeah. I'm looking at Glory Vase and thinking, yeah, absolutely hard to beat. But my play across the weekend, across that meeting, probably will just be backing the Japanese horses, really.
Golden 60's into $1.50 now. Do you give any chance to Law of Indices running a nice race?
No.
Okay. Lucky Swainess.
Lucky Swainess. Yeah, he's very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Beat Wellington again in the sprint?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he's got that demographic sewn up at the moment over there.
Sharknado, you've done very well.
Panther Lassa v Jack Dore. That's the race I'm looking forward to in that Hong Kong Cup.
So no Romantic Warrior for you?
Well, he's a good local horse, isn't he? But I think those 2 Japanese horses might have his measure.
Sharknado, we will see you Monday, unless something goes awry at the Killers. Good luck. Never. Enjoy. Back plenty of winners. And we will see you on the verdict.
Ready to launch.
All right. Gosh, there's plenty of winners there. Don't go anywhere. There are more to come. It is the fast form today. 3 meetings. Then we've got the full form preview of today's meetings. Plus, Ron Duffacy with all of his weekend winners. All that's still to come.